You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm really pleased to be with our guest today, whom I consider a great friend and is doing so much for young people across the state and collegiate work. I'm talking about Chris Lowry, who is the new Baptist Collegiate Ministries State Director, and he is Emerging Generation Specialist with the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Chris, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I'm glad to be here.
Now, that's a long title.
It is a long title, and I got to make it up. We actually moved it around different ways, and finally, this is the one I thought, okay, that's the most impressive.
But I like it. It fits on a 5x7 business card, but it conveys just the seriousness and scope of your ministry calling. You oversee and help give direction to a lot of campus ministries, for starters. Just how vast is it here in Oklahoma?
We have a presence on about 36 different campuses.
Wow.
And about 30 full-time directors, and some of those guys are handling more than one campus. So I didn't even know there were that many colleges and universities in Oklahoma. But there's even a lot more than that. We are not, at this point, don't have a presence on every campus yet. But we have some strategies for how to do that.
And what's unique, it seems like each campus has a unique place within the state that I'm sure there's some common ground, but also some unique parts. Have you found that as you've traveled the state about each campus having a unique spot in ministry?
Yeah, I think so. Even just the uniqueness of the campus itself, just walking around the campus with the guys and listening to their story and the different leaders, they know so much about the campus. And I thought it was interesting that a lot of the two-year campuses, they thrive on nursing programs and things like that. And so that impacts the type of ministry that we're going to have on that campus as well.
Absolutely. And Chris, college students today face different types of temptations and distractions than maybe when you and I were growing up. You've studied young people today, emerging generations. You've studied the millennials. You've written books about it, quite literally. Are they fundamentally different or at the same level as everyone else? What are some of those?
Well, I would say the temptations haven't really changed. They're the same temptations that I read about in Scripture, thousands of years ago. The delivery method is different.
Yes.
But they really are facing a lot of the same things. I think the two things that have impacted their culture the most, one I call hyperinflated ego, and it is I do this in conferences, but Dr. Kevin Lehman years ago wrote The Birth Order book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. Talked about, how firstborns have these characteristics to them, and they're very organized. And middle children like me, there are no pictures of us in the family album. nobody knows why we were named what we were named. Not that I'm bitter, but but then there's youngest child who whatever they do is the cutest thing in the world. And if they drop their spoon during a meal, mom, dad, brother, sister, immediately somebody picks it up, wipes it off, sterilizes it, cleans it, or goes to the store and buys a new one, puts it back on there for them. Well, if they do it 10 times during a meal, they do it, 10 times they pick that up and take care of them because they're the baby of the family. They are so special. Well, the struggle with the baby of the family is they can create what he called a golden child syndrome. They get the feeling that they are special, that even though there are rules and things that apply maybe to the rest of the world, they don't really apply to them because they're so special. I mean, their family has told them that their whole life. Somewhere in the 80s, our society decided that a child's self-esteem was the most important thing. It shouldn't be battered, shouldn't be bruised, shouldn't be challenged. And so we kind of quit keeping score at different things. We created what's happened. We began to tell all young adults, all children at that time who are young adults now, hey, you're special. I mean, the world is your – there's nothing that can hold you back. You can accomplish whatever you want to. And so if you tell an entire generation that they're special – and everybody's telling them they're special, well, guess what? Eventually they believe they're special. And so in some ways what we've created is a generation with golden child syndrome. And so there's some real struggles with that that they have in really entering into the real world and finding out, okay, well, wait a minute. Why isn't the world – why aren't people at my workplace? Why aren't people at these different organizations – why aren't they treating me the way that I deserve to be treated, the way I've always been treated? And so that's a struggle they have. Well, that's a fundamental change than other generations. This is a challenge that it shapes their worldview. So in that way, they've changed. They're different. The second probably most influential thing on them has been the internet. I mean, we grew up in an age where information was delivered in a few short – you know, it took a long time to find out something, a lot of research to find out information on a topic. This group has for their entire life had information at their fingertips. In fact, they have information overload. They have tons of information, but they're short on life experience. And so when they're having to make decisions, the idea that there's one expert on any topic in the world, that just doesn't – that doesn't ring true with them. Because let's say you and I are standing up in front of a group of young adults talking on really any topic in the world. Within 5 minutes, they can be on their phones finding 10 people with the same degree as us or higher who will say either part of what we're saying is wrong or all of what we're saying is wrong. Hmm. So their entire life on every subject in the world, they've had, quote, experts saying, no, this is right, no, this is right, no, this is right, no, this is right. So those two things – so they no longer believe that there's an expert on any topic. The Chronicle of Higher Education really talked about that they're seeing the same thing on university campuses. Those two things have shaped, I think, young adults' worldview. And if you don't understand that, then you don't really understand why young adults respond the way that they do. But when you do understand that, they begin to make sense. And some of the benefits to that are they are wide open to relationships. They absolutely thrive on relationships. When I first took the emerging generations job side of this, I was thinking we've got to develop the most incredible high-tech delivery system for the gospel, for Bible studies, for that kind of thing. Well, it didn't take very long to look at the research and do our own research here in Oklahoma and find out they already have all that. I mean, there are companies who do a great job of that. But what I found out was what they lack are face-to-face relationships. And what they respond incredibly well to are face-to-face relationships, someone who will care for them. And if you think about a generation that's been told they're special their whole life, if someone will come in, what I learned is just to step into that world and ask great questions and let them tell their story because they love to tell their story.
And as you say that, I know many might be thinking back to their college days when it was called BSU or Baptist mm-hmm. Student Union, now Baptist Collegiate Ministries. There was that person that face, you were outside the church, but they represented Christ to you. They were the kind of the lifeboat that could show God to you and get you connected to a church. I know I benefited from that. What sort of ministry areas do you see being successful on campuses today, given those factors, given the need and hunger for relationships, Chris?
That part, I don't know if that part's changed a whole lot. You know, with this high tech as we are, everything still boils down to, hey, does somebody care about me? Will somebody invest the time to sit down, hear my story? And one of the things that we're finding is when a college student or even a young adult, because they have so much information coming in, well, eventually they've got to make a decision, but they have all this conflicting information coming in. Typically, they're going to help the person who's going to help them make that decision the most is the person who has a relationship with them. And that is nothing more than just sitting down and listening to them and not trying to fix them. We teach listening skills now. Listening evangelism is one of the conferences that a lot of churches are requesting and been doing that a lot. And in that conference, one of the things I say is, you know, I was amazed at how quickly a young adult would tell me their story if I would actually just listen. Hmm. But the mistake I made early on was they'd tell me all this story. Well, I'm a fixer. I'm from a fixer generation. And so at the end of it, I was like, great, man, let me tell you what you need to do. And they would just kind of glass over. They're very polite. But I wasn't making an impact. So I learned not to even ask that question or not to even offer advice unless they asked me. And typically, a lot of times it was the second, third conversation where we'd go back to that topic. And they'd say, you know what, I've really been trying to figure out what to do with this. What, has anything like that ever happened to you, or what would you do? And then I had to learn not to just unload the whole dump truck there, but just say, hey, well, have you thought about this or have you thought about this? And be able to help them just ask good questions, kind of help them make decisions. But the great thing is for our BCMs, formerly BSUs, for those, we've got people at a critical stage of life. We've got people on those campuses who can help walk them through these things. The great thing on the church ministry side of it is churches, every church in Oklahoma can reach young adults just by doing the simple thing of building relationships. Now, one of the differences, once you understand the worldview, that helps a little bit. And one of the differences is we can't just sit in our churches and wait for them to come to us. We've got to look up in the world that we're already in and see, okay, what young adults has God already placed in my path? Where, you know, maybe where I eat lunch often or where I get my coffee or just a person, somebody in my neighborhood that's a young adult that I can walk across, build a relationship with, and they're going to come to my church eventually because of the relationship that was built in our front yard or on the front porch.
Just hearing you say that makes me think of times in the Bible where Christ saw the people. He noticed. He paid attention. His eyes were up, not staring off somewhere. He saw people where they were and was able to minister to them. And, of course, as the Son of God, do miracles. For our listeners, Chris, are there resources or upcoming events or things that they could pray for your ministry, broadly speaking, that you'd want everyone to know about?
Yeah, we have a conference coming up the first weekend in September called Momentum at First Baptist Jinx in Jinx. I was going to say it.
Amen.
In Jinx. And so that'll be, you know, several hundred college students coming together. And those are the events that I always pray that God would just, you know, grab somebody and kind of minister to them, touch their heart in a way that he might not be able to get their attention some other way. So that would be one for the students that are coming to that. And then... really, in a couple of ways, for our churches especially, that we would just catch the vision for reaching outside the four walls, engaging young adults where they're at, not trying to fix them, trying to understand them. And in many cases, a lot of the conferences that I do, one of the things I hear over and over is, you know what, you just explained my son or daughter to me. It makes sense now. I've seen this, but I didn't know what it was called. And so praying that we would catch a vision for getting outside the four walls. And then pray for our BCM leaders. We have great, great staff, but that's a big job. And so we need some God-sized things to continue to happen on those campuses, things that can only be explained because the hand of God was at work, not just good planning or because we were diligent in what we did. But huge things that we just can't explain. And so I would pray for all those things.
I'm glad you pointed that out. And it's amazing to step back and think about this generation coming up will one day be in all the positions of influence in society, whether it be in the church, in government, in business. And it's just such a critical role you're doing in with BCM. Is there anything else you'd like to add or ways we could pray for you in your ministry, you know, here in Oklahoma or Oklahoma Baptist lift you up?
Well, I'm telling you, I am so excited about this position. I mean, it was not one that I would have ever really considered pursuing, but once they kind of talked to me about it and I got to experience a little bit out of it, it's interesting how all the things in my past are feeding into this. And just connections and networking and experiences and all that. And so, yeah, if someone were going to pray for me, I would just want them to pray that I do a very good job with the staff that we have. We have great people. I want to make sure they're treated well and they get the resources and things they need to be successful. So that would be a huge deal.
Absolutely. Chris, congratulations on your new position, and thank you for your really tireless work pioneering people's understanding of in Oklahoma about emerging adults, young adults, and we just want to pray God's blessings on you. Let's have you back on the broadcast maybe later in the school year and hear how the BCM work is going, Momentum, and we want to thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Blessings.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.